Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, listen, good evening to my brothers and my sisters out there in the PRI radio land. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. And listen, today we are following on with our monthly series, How to Be the Lender and Stop Borrowing. Mama, it's been an interesting
yes.
show so far. So
yes,
we just want to say welcome to you, Mama. Welcome to you, and allow you to give your greetings to everyone that is here. As we get ready to get on with this powerful, impactful show tonight.
Thank you. And I just want to say good evening to my PRF family. And I'm very excited that you could be with us this evening. So enjoy the show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we are going live right now on Facebook. So I'm just asking everybody, go ahead and tag your friends. You know, there's a whole bunch of people, Mama, that just need to hear what God is saying through us right now in respects to how to be the lender and stop borrowing. And so what we want to do, we want to just tell you, if you are watching on Facebook, somebody's monitoring the Facebook page, prfministry.org, and also my Facebook page, which is where we're going live right now. And then also, if you are listening to us through Blog Talk Radio, all you have to do is press 1 on your phone if you're listening, and we'll bring you into the conversation. If anybody wants to jump on live with us with comments on Facebook Live, just do what you do. We'll bring you in as well. So listen, here we go. I think last week, Mama, we were focusing on your giving as a precursor to being a lender. And one of the things that we realize is that in order to be a lender, you got to have something to lend. And one of the other shows that we had this month, we really helped people to understand that this thing is not about waiting until somebody gets $1 million in the bank. It's not waiting until all your debts are paid off. You know, that's not how God set this thing up. He did give some parameters. He did tell us in his word a couple of different ways that we can actually be the lender. But we got to understand, we got to know, and if it's never been presented to you, then what we're going to do is give our best, which we've been trying to do for the last couple of weeks, to show you in the word of God what God is saying about being the lender and not the borrower. All right, Mama. So we know some scriptures. For those who have not been on with us for this full time, you know that the number one scripture that came out of this whole place of where we are was Deuteronomy 15:6, because most people here, you will lend to many nations and you will not have to borrow. You will be the ruler of many nations and they won't rule over you. We talked about that. So if you haven't listened to any of the previous shows, just go to blogtalkradio.com/PRF table, or you can go to it through our website, prfministry.org. Or you can go to our Facebook page, PRF Institute. And so many people hear that, Mama, right? They hear that all the time. You'll be lending, not to borrow. People get told that from the pulpit. And listen, I get it. I understand that it is relative. I understand that it is the word of God. However, something I keep saying as much as I can say it, if you start pulling just those little pieces out of the word of God and you don't understand context, you don't have nothing else but just that, those little one-liners as if it was a proverb, then there may be something else that God has required of us, Mama. Maybe there was something else that God has required. And because he required it, people are sitting there, yo, I'm going to be the lender, I'm going to be the lender, I'm going to be the lender, but you still ain't the lender. And you're sitting there wondering why you're not the lender right now. And so we want to help, Mama, we want to help deal with that. And so we're not going to talk about Deuteronomy chapter 15 and 6. I want to focus on another one. I want to focus on Deuteronomy chapter 28. One of the scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I believe, so many people may have heard this as well. Listen to what he says in verse 12. Not all of it, but just like in Deuteronomy 15:6, you only hear the little piece of it that makes it cool to say, mama. They only hear the little piece that somebody said, oh, I'm going to be the lender now. But so I'm going to give you that little piece that most people hear. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. That's all he says. That's verse 1. You will lend to many nations, but you will not have to borrow from them. Okay? So again, my question that I keep posing to everybody is, how the heck do you become a lender? I want you to think about everybody who you borrow money from, Brother Doe, everybody who you borrow money from a house or from in respect to a house or for a car or borrow money from a payday loan place or wherever you got to understand those folk had some parameters in place. You didn't just come in there and borrow money and don't have nothing to show for it. You don't come in there just borrow money not having nothing. You don't come in there just borrow money getting with your credit all jacked up. No, you don't. Lenders don't do that. The ones that do, we're going to charge you and bust you over the head with the interest rate, right, Mama? That's what's going to happen. So we're not talking about those type of lending. We're talking about godly lending. And so the question is, what do you have? What else goes along with you shall be the lender? If that's all you got, I'm not confused as why so many of God's people are not lenders right now. So Mama, I'm gonna pull something out. I'm gonna pull a rabbit out of the hat, if you will. Mama, if you got anything to say, go ahead and jump on, Mama, because you know I get to going sometimes. Please, share your thoughts if you have any right now. If not, you know how we do. All right, Mama, so listen. I'm gonna go back to a beginning. Because how does God position you? That's the question, right? Or the thought. How does God position you to be the lender? Well, you've heard me talk about this before. This thing is not about you, Brother Franklin. It's not about you as the individual being the lender. It's not about me as Dunlap being the lender. It was about the community being the lender. That's the when we read Deuteronomy chapter 15, you read out Deuteronomy chapter 28 and so many other things that God has placed in his word as he was given to the children of Israel as they were in the wilderness and getting ready for going into the promised land. It wasn't about them as individuals. It was about what they do collectively. So how does God position us? The first thing I'll say is God positions us through his word. He gives us a couple of things that should have us saying, if I've been hearing that I'm going to be the lender all this time, but yet it has not happened. Maybe there's something that I need to be able to, I need to explore. I need to try to say, what is going on with that? You remember last week, Mama, we talked about how your giving is a precursor to your being a lender, right? Because if you never give, when it comes time for somebody to borrow from you, you're lending it to them, but that is an act of giving. People don't want to look at it like that, but it is an act of giving. And you are trusting somebody with something that you're giving to them to give it back to you at the allotted time. Earlier this week, I'm going off script right now, but earlier this week, I kind of went off a little bit because I was tired of seeing individuals preying on people's ignorance, especially in the church. And yes, I said it. There's no other way that I can express it, especially when it's religious leaders that are preying on people or maybe not even know how horrible what they're doing to the people, because there's a lot of schemes that are out here. And trust me, the things that we see, I will waste a lot of energy and time, Mama, if I just put out there all the stuff that I see, and then how church folk, Mama, these seasoned saints, these bishops and pastors are buying into a lot of this foolishness, and then you wonder why you still ain't a lender. Because you're dealing with foolishness, and because God's like, listen, that's not my way, what you're trying to do. One of the things I said, Mama, I'm going to script again. One of the things that I said, and I mean this, the way that you treat your creditors right now has so much to do with how God places you and positions you as a lender. Think about it, Mama. If, for example, you don't feel no need to pay your creditors back, why on God's green earth would he put you in a position to lend to others? Maybe he'll put you in a position to lend to others so you can feel the same type of pain that you've caused others when you don't want to pay them back. But that still doesn't help us as a whole. It doesn't help us as a community because the resources are no longer there. So yeah, God may do that. But generally speaking, I can't see it because you ain't ready. And what we've been talking about is, listen, we just want you to be ready. That's it. I'm waiting for churches to be the lenders. We may not do it all the way across every church around across the country, but doggone, is there one church out there that you can name? And I'm putting this out there to everybody. Is there even one church out there? And I'm going to go to our caller right now. But is there even one church out there that you know is a lender? Are they lending or are they taking? I'm going to stop right there. We're going to bring Bishop Zimmerman on, Kelly Zimmerman, who's been waiting patiently. Bishop Zimmerman, good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening.
I'm doing good. I'm trying to keep, calm.
Just fine. Thank you, Bishop.
It's good to talk to you all. That's a good question to know about whether there's any churches that are true lenders. You know, my ministry is a unique ministry, and while I'm in recovery from my knee surgery, while I don't have an edifice per se, I have a ministry that in many cases I give out of my pocket when I have it. Mm-hmm. And my circumstances, it comes from people giving in, as well as if I have it, you know, from my ministry going out preaching and different things like that. And I do it personally until if I don't have it in my pocket, because I pay my bills, I've given to veterans for supplies and different things like that, or whatever the Lord says, because, you know, I make sure within the best of my abilities that my resources mm-hmm. are taken care of. But at the same token, where there's a need, I've been in that situation that I've had need before being a bishop and going to churches and needing help. And I actually had a church to, quote, loan me the money and was a faithful tither and asked for the money back, which is against the law. But they didn't know that I knew that. But I went ahead and paid them the money back anyway. And so because I just said, you know what, I want to be free in my mind. Whether that was right or wrong at that particular time, I didn't care. I just wanted to go ahead and be free in my mind from that church. I didn't even want to feel like I owed them nothing but to look.
Right.
And that's how I felt. I shared something with you, Dr. Dunlap, you know, because you and I spoke this week on a matter of how people can, and I don't mind sharing this, and I hope this bless somebody, because as a leader, I think that we need to be transparent, that I trusted someone in handling a situation for me at one particular time to help with some credit issues that I had. And I'm still not out of the woods. You know, I'm still working on those things. And they were like, yeah, we can help you with your credit because, you know, as a leader, we should be the prime example. You know, you and I discussed that. And nothing was done. The money, you know, was paid. It was a relatively small amount, but that small amount, I could have paid at least one debt with that.
That's right.
I done met somebody up who was listening to me. But, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I guess is that the right expression, the saying for that expression? But, you know, I said lesson learned. You know, lesson learned.
Yes.
Because I trusted the person, I trusted them because they were supposed to be even more seasoned than myself. And so, you know, it was just like never again. And at one time I started to go and confront that person and, look, give me my money back. But you know what? I said, you know what, I'm not letting you worry about it. If you had to steal from me, I know you steal from God. And so... and I'm one of God's elect myself. So, you know what? I know God will deal with you. God will deal with you, and I just learned to rest in it. But at the same token, it's something that I will use to help people that I lead. Don't go this route. Pay your debts. Do what you're supposed to do. So that way, you know, let us all get education together and we're working, even though I still have a ways to go because myself, I'm pending disability. So, you know, if anybody that knows the process of disability, they want you to be broke, busted, and disgusted. But I refuse to be broke, busted, and disgusted. So what I will do is, even in that process, make sure that I use wisdom, because the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. But if I can add this also, Dr. Nate, I don't mean to go on a tangent. I sent you a scripture, because you were referring to Deuteronomy 28. I was looking at verse 9, you know, when you were saying it. But the point of, before you can get all of those promises, you have to be in the right positioning. Positioning is everything to receive those promises. And verse 9 says, the Lord will establish thee in holy and holy people unto himself as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. So in order to get those blessings, in order to receive those promises of, just like you said, I think you said verse 14, verse 12, that thou shalt lend to many nations, you got to be in position. You got to be walking in obedience. You got to walk in his ways. And one of those things is not to be constantly borrowing, not to be constantly in debt, not to pay your debt, to do everything, walk upright before God, to be walking in integrity. That was my little thing.
But now, and you can, you're welcome to stay on, Bishop. And so here's the thing. So let's just flow. I just showed those who are watching this on Facebook. I just showed it how I wrote that down. That was one of the verses, verse 9. But I, before we hit into verse 9 or we expound on that, I want us to go back to verse number 1, because that's even more critical than verse 9, because it says, if you fully obey the Lord your God, that's what the word of God, and follow all of his commandments, the ones that he's given them today, the Lord your God will bless you, will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And so that means that if I do that, that's the if. I always talk about conditions and promises. I talk about that all the time. People want the promises, right? See, the promise is you will be a lender. You will lend to many nations. You will be the lender and not the borrower. That's the promise. But what about the condition? And so God is saying, look, I'm telling you, this is what God is saying in the season. All I want y'all to do is just to get positioned. And so how does God position us to be the lender? It's not about just being the lender. This whole thing about lending, Bishop Mama, is a byproduct.
Yeah.
It's a byproduct. This is not, God didn't create us. The number one thing in the world that God wants for us is not to be the lender. That's a byproduct of all that he has for us, right? And so if I just highlight that scripture, if you fully obey. Now, here's the issue. When you don't know what the heck he said, how the heck you going to follow it? That's where we start to get tricky.
Amen.
That's when folks start saying, brother, you talking too strong on this. Man, whatever. If God has a promise out there for me, I need to know what the heck I need to do to get it. This is not a covenant between God and me, between God and us. This is a condition as part of the promise. See, this is when God makes covenants, they ain't got nothing to do with the people. That's something that he's deciding to do. But when he makes a promise, then there's a condition that's wrapped up in it. And so if we don't follow what the conditions are, don't expect the promise. Don't expect it. But watch this. So he said that. And he said, high above the other nations on the earth. If you are subservient to debt, if you are subservient to the world's economic system, how the heck are you going to be high above the nations? Yes, you may be spiritual, but then I would even question a lot of your spirituality. If you are so subjective to so many of the things of the world. And so what listen to what is some stuff that comes after that. So if you grab a hold to verse 1 and say, you know what, I'm going to take that. But what else is there? Can we go to the rest of the verses? Here's what he says in verse 2. He says, all these blessings will come upon you. I'm reading from NIV this time. All of these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Did you hear? That's the second time he said obey. And then he gives them a promise. Then he gives them a promise. He says, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. So that, listen, so blessed in the city, you're going to be blessed where you are. And so if stuff ain't going right where you are, then you need to be able to check yourself, or there should be some leaders that say, hold on, we need to check ourselves. Not me checking you, putting you in check, Bishop, but we need to check ourselves as a faith community, right? And then in the country. Now, when this text was written, remember, this is Deuteronomy. This is not even in the promised land yet. But it's amazing that he says in the country. That means this thing is bigger than us. So we don't need to be complaining about what's going on outside of our own little spots if we ain't done what we need to do right here in our own area, right? How about this? Remember that the Lord said, Jesus, right? He said, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, doggone, how are you going to do something to the uttermost parts of the earth? You ain't even taking care of Jerusalem. You ain't even taking care of home yet. You haven't done what God has told you to do at home. So how do – oh, my goodness. Let me stop. Verse 4 says this. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flock. All of your possessions is going to be blessed as well. Listen, I'm just not buying this thing that we should be still in the same doggone positions that a lot of us were in 15 years ago. Listen, I ain't been walking with Christ all my life, and I am much further along than a whole bunch of folks that have been walking with Christ all their life. I'm not saying that in a boastful manner, but doggone it, when I find something that the Lord has said and I can attach onto that thing and I can show others, then yeah, that's where some of my blessings come from, Mama. That's where some of my blessings come from. Not from me having all the knowledge about everything, not for having all the degrees on my walls. It's from sharing the knowledge, the revelation knowledge that God has provided to us. Not just me, because half the stuff that I talk about is not just coming from Dunlap. It's coming from folks that are having real situations in their lives. So watch this. Two more verses. Your basket and your kneading trowel will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in. Have you ever heard it, Mama? You'll be blessed coming in and blessed going out. Well, doggone it, listen to this. How the heck, God, oh, my God. Blessed going in and blessed coming out. Some of y'all go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Think about it. Blessed going in and blessed going out. You act like you're blessed coming out, but then when Monday comes around, where did that blessing go? The same stuff you had going in is the same stuff that's waiting on you when you come back out. So that means there's a whole bunch of stuff that we have to do outside of the four walls of the church, because it's not like we're getting it in the inside. And it sure as heck is still the same way it is on the outside. We're having too much conversation about so many of the same different issues. Let me keep going. Here's what he says. He gives us the condition. He talks about how we will be blessed. And so my question is, as we wind this thing down, my question is, what are you going to do? How about you take this? How about you take this that I read from? When God said, these are things, these promises that he's promised is about us being obedient. That's it.
Amen.
If you look at chapter 28 and you read down, I don't know what verse, down to verse 15, all that's about blessings for being obedient. And then you go on from 16 on, and it's talking about curses for being disobedient.
Disobedient.
Now,
amen.
I'm not going to read anything from verses 16 or 15 through the rest of the chapter, which ends in verse 68. Listen to this. The section of chapter 28, please get it, from verse 1 through verse 14, deals with obedience, blessings for obedience. But then in verses 15, all the way through the end of the chapter, which ends at verse number 68, listen to the 15, verse 15 to 68, talks about curses for disobedience. Which side of the coin you want to be on? That's the question.
Amen.
Where you want to be?
Obedience.
And I guarantee, and I'm not going to do it, but I guarantee, I challenge you. I want you to read from 15 on to 68 and see where you fall into there. And say, you know what, God? Whatever it is that I'm not doing right, I want to be back on that other side. I want to be back on the side where my children are blessed, where my household is blessed. I'm blessed going into things. I'm blessed coming out of things. I'm blessed in my agreements, my possessions are blessed. That's the place where we want to be. But more especially, Mama, that's the place where God wants us to be. We're just not in our rightful position. And the question, for those of y'all who weren't there, listen to this. The question was, where are the churches who are the lenders? Yeah. Where are the churches that are the lenders? If nobody freaking knows where the churches are who are the lenders, then who are they lending to? Who are they lending to? Maybe they're lending to themselves. But that is so powerful in the Word of God that we shall lend to many nations. So how can we lend to many nations when nobody knows who you're lending to? Yeah.
That's
I'm all about let's get it together. This is how God, but this is one way of how God will position us to be lenders. You got to get what is being said in these verses down in your spirit. You got to say, you know what? I'm done borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. Now, if that's your attitude, right, of you're tired of borrowing and borrowing and borrowing, then somebody else got to raise up. Somebody else got to stand up and say, okay, now hold on. Somebody else got to go to some churches and say, now listen, this is what God said. Are we not dealing with this piece of the Word of God? I'm sure, Mama, I know y'all listening, but right, I'm showing the Bible to those who are watching on Facebook Live. Is that the part that we're not going to deal with? Come on. Oh, my God. I'm taking my glasses off. It is amazing to me. It's amazing that so many churches will talk about you're cursed if you don't give tithes. When that's only mentioned one time, listen to this, Mama. Just think about the mentality, the slave mentality. That's mentioned one time in the Bible about being cursed for not giving tithes. But I done presented to you two powerful texts that talk about being the lender and the borrower to many nations. So why, listen, I can't tell nobody what to talk about, but I can say it when it's not being done in the sermon. That's just a way of getting people to give to the church. But we should be giving. We are the ones that's supposed to be lending. And so think about this. And I know this is not going to sound good to some folk, but you know, I've been there before. If your church does more receiving than it does giving, then there's a problem. There's a problem. I'm not saying the leaders are doing anything wrong with the money, even though that's what was going on in Malachi chapter 3. I'm not saying that, but that is a problem. If your focus is more on giving into the church versus giving. Now think about this. I'll take a little bit off the table with the giving piece. If you were Lynn, think about this. Let me give a good example. There are some individuals a lot of people were released from prison today all over this country. A lot of people were released from prison all over this country within the last month. Don't you know that folks that have been on lockdown, Mama? I'm about to go somewhere and I'm about to go.
Yeah.
But don't you know there's some folks that have been on lockdown that don't have certain things, that need certain things? And if we're going to talk, again, I hate to bring in Malachi chapter 3, but I say this. If it's about bringing stuff into the storehouse, how can you bring stuff into the storehouse but you can't never lend it to anybody? Listen, God gave us this couple pounds of organ on top of our heads called a brain. You just got to think about that. That's something is wrong. Something is wrong with how we're doing quote-unquote church. And again, I can keep saying this. I can keep saying this until you know. Those of you, until you know who the lenders are. We're probably going to go a couple minutes extra because I'm there. I'm there. Something is wrong. If you selling, bring it and put it into the storehouse, but yet the storehouse can't lend it, then what are you bringing it into the storehouse for? Matter of fact, no. I'm going to say this. Why are you taking it to the storehouse? I'm going to go there. Why are you taking it to the storehouse if the storehouse is not producing back? There's something wrong with that picture. I don't care about buildings. People who are not doing well don't care about the building. They don't care how nice the building is. That's not what they care about. People care about how are we going to live in community. I listened to a friend of mine that talked about how the people don't want to come to church. Don't worry about that, Joe. Why would I come to church if there's no relationship there? Why am I coming to church if there's no community with the people that's there? And I watched this on the church's website. Somebody mute your phone. I hear some stuff back there. What he did was he had everybody to get up. He had everybody to get up, and he said, for the next 3 minutes or 5 minutes, I want you to go to somebody that you don't know. And I love how he did that, because he said, why does somebody who is so isolated from so many things, doing what they got to do during the week, want to come to a place on Sunday where you don't have no relationship with anybody? Let me tell you something. If y'all started – I'm talking to pastors and bishops and all y'all with these religious titles, right? If you started lending to the people, and I'm not getting into the you know, what you were talking about, Bishop, with, you know, things, but if you started lending to the people that needed some help, you know what that does? That does something for their self-esteem, because a lot of people don't want handouts. So if they come to you and you say, and they say, listen, I need $150 for my light bill, and you tell them no because you don't want to give it, how about you change your way of dealing with this and say, you know what, how about we lend this to you? How about we lend this to you? You pay us back $10 a month. Maybe they will be more willing to come and ask for help, because their pride is in them, because they don't feel like they're getting a handout. Oh, my goodness. Listen, last thing. Remember when we talked last week from Matthew chapter 25? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick and in prison, you came to see about me. Listen, if you can't do that, Jesus said that, Mama. And am I right? That's what Jesus said. Jesus said those words. If you can't do that, you ain't never going to be positioned to be a lender. Never. I'm dropping the mic. You cannot be positioned to be a lender when you can't even give. And he makes it so easy, because he gives you a choice of individuals who you can deal with. You can deal with folks that are thirsty. You can deal with folks that are hungry. You can deal with folks that ain't got no clothes. You can deal with folks that's in prison. You can deal with folks that's sick. You can deal with five different groups of people. Or you can deal with some of them, one, two. You got a choice. But the beautiful part of that is, here's what I love. I love how, see, God gave those commands. Said, listen, here's the condition and here's the promise. I love how Jesus said, you know what? It's up to you, Jack. Do it if you do it. Just know, what you do to the least of these, you do unto me. So don't start acting like, oh, God. Don't act like you're doing a whole bunch in the kingdom. And you can't do nothing for the folk that's hungry, can't do nothing for the folk that's thirsty, that's sitting there without clothes, don't have nowhere to stay, homeless, sick, imprisoned. Ah, everything else you're talking about is like, okay, yeah, you did a good message on Sunday. And here's how I know I think I'm going to be done after this, because I know I done went over a couple of minutes, but let God do what he does. You know what I love? I say this, and I'm going to go here again. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I say what I say, and I'm strong in what I said it because I believe it, and I know it's true. Now, here's the deal. It's not that you're not doing anything. Now I'm talking to other leaders. It's not that y'all not doing anything right. But in this area, come on, when are we going to get to be in the position of being the lender? And it's not going to happen until religious leaders stand up and say, listen, we have to be positioned. And I promise you, if you don't know how to do it, if you can't do it, we'll help you out. PRF, we will help you out. But you got to have a commitment to this. There has to be a commitment to being a lender. God ain't going to put something in your hand to give to somebody else knowing the condition that we're in. If all these people that's watching this on Facebook Live, all the people that's listening around the country to this radio show right now, has not one of y'all said, I know a church that's a lender. That's sad. And I say including mine. That's sad. So, if none of the churches are lenders, Bishop, how about this? Who are we going to get it from? We're going to get it to them same people that God said you won't have to borrow from. So, therefore, stop calling on God, asking God to do all these things for us. Because he said, listen, I'm trying to position you to be the ones to be able to be the lenders so you will have more and be able to do more. Don't tell me that you're trying to do stuff for the kingdom when you ain't got nothing in your hand. Or you're keeping it within your hand, and your hand is tight, so much so tight as a fist, that nothing can get in and nothing can get out. Mama, you got any last words? I'm done. I'm not even going any further.
No. Everything is just about obedience and disobedience.
Yes, it is. 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 It is. It's about being obedient. It's about being obedient. God, that He expects us to do better. I know it down in my heart. He expects us to do better. And I'm telling you, without any equivocation, without any hesitation, without any mental reservation, God is looking for us to get ourselves positioned right now. See, here's the thing. I don't know what's coming down the future. I know some stuff ain't good. So He ain't gave me everything, Mama Good Dr. Ings, right? He ain't gave me everything. He's giving me what He's giving me.
Yeah.
And so that's my task, is to give you what He's giving me. And so you hear this. You hear the cry. Okay, what you going to do? If God said that you should not be in debt over 7 years, if God set that up, which He did, it's in there. But if God said that, right, and you know it, well, not here. Since God said it, and if you know it, and if you believe it without even reading, but if you believe that, and you decide to go and get in a 30-year debt with somebody, you can't expect them to do the same thing that God said that we as a faith community were supposed to be doing among each other first. You can't expect them to do the same thing to you. So you have to play by their rules. No way, shape, or form or fashion about it. You got to. God is like, listen, y'all been playing these same rules long enough. I need y'all to stand up. I need y'all to lock arms. This thing ain't about when you get there. I told a group of men this yesterday. Forget this whole thing about when I get there, I'm going to pull somebody else up. That's foolishness. You don't get somewhere and then pull somebody up. You go with people. You lock arms with folk. And when you lock arms with folk, that's how we get there together. You don't get there because, truth be told, there's a whole bunch of folk that got a whole bunch of resources. There's a whole bunch of churches that got a whole bunch of resources. And I can promise you, where are they pulling up each other? Where are they pulling others up after they got there? Because, see, the rules are different. Listen, let me tell you, the rules are different. When you got $1,000 in the bank versus $100,000 in the bank, the rules are different. You operate different, bottom line. So don't expect once you get a whole bunch of stuff that that's going to be the time when you're going to start doing a bunch of stuff. That's why retirement is foolish. The whole concept of retirement is foolish. I'm not talking about the money. Look, good, get the money. You retire, you spend as much time on your job, and you get a retirement check. I'm not talking about that. But the whole concept is wrong because a lot of people say, when I get to retire, then I'm going to do things. God didn't say wait till you're 65 before you start living your dreams. But if you don't have the right connections, if you ain't positioned in the right way, then you'll still have that whole mentality, when I get to be 65. Well, listen, I think most of us know that most people who are 65 don't operate the same way they used to back in the 20s. Yeah, that hang gliding you wanted to do when you was 30, yeah, you're probably not going to do it at 65. The zip lining you wanted to do at 25, no, you're probably not going to do it at 65. So we're trying to get everybody positioned. We're trying to follow what God is doing. This is what God is doing. We're trying to follow it the best that we can to present these things to you, to get you to thinking. Because at the end of the day, it's just what happened in Acts chapter 2. This is it. When Peter spoke, they said, around the 32nd verse, brothers, what shall we do? So all that we keep bringing to you, there should be somebody, I don't know who it is, but some of y'all hopefully are getting it and saying, you know what? What do we need to do? And I've had a couple people that asked me, listen, this is, maybe some of y'all, I don't think some of y'all saw this. Some of y'all said, may have saw the post that I posted that was posted the other day. What was the post? The post said that there was somebody who paid off a debt. Did y'all see that, Mama? Did you see that post that I put out there about somebody who paid off a debt kind of early?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was, they made their final payment on the debt, and it was 69 payments ahead of schedule. Does that? God does that. So listen, if you hear that somebody did that, and using the principles that we keep bringing to you in various different ways, whether it's our legacy conferences, whether it's the webinars, whether it's through the radio show like we're doing now, why would you not ask? You know why? Because it hasn't pierced your heart yet. See, the difference is somebody's heart was pierced, and they said, I need to know what to do. When we got high school students say, you know what? I need to find out how to deal with my credit right now before we go to college. Something was pierced in their heart because they asked the question, and then they were able to receive. So that's all we're asking. Look, when God speaks to your heart, let's do it. But don't complain when stuff ain't going right. Don't complain. Don't think it's nobody else's fault. Don't look at nobody else. Don't say it's your pastor. I don't even say that all pastors need to be teaching what we're teaching. I'm not saying that at all. I do believe that some questions need to be asked, and then we need to point people in the right direction. I do believe that, and if you don't do that, blood's on your hands. But other than that, God, we are ready to do some things. I'm telling you, God, he's positioning us. I'm talking about PRF now. He has positioned us. God. This is a Dunlap moment right now, Mama. My heart's desire is to preach as many people along with us. Notice I didn't say with me. I said with us, with PRS, is to preach as many people with us, because I already have a lot of the insight of where God is taking us. And so if I'm able to see through the Spirit of God and his revelation to me a sweet place that he's taking us, and you don't have all the tools or resources to get there on your own, why the heck would you not get on the train? Why would you not get on the train? All right, Mama. I'm done. I'm done. We're done for the night. Let's get together. I'm going to come on and do a couple periodic Facebook Lives between now and next week. I'm not going to have too much time. Again, I already told you, the way God is moving on this PRF train is unbelievable. And the ones that are ready are going to be the ones to get it. That's it. I just desire for many people to be on the train. And I say this, and people heard me say it before, Mom, as we close.
Yes.
The reason my brother, God bless you, Dr. Arnold. The reason I want to make sure that people understand this is not a Dunlap thing, this is a PRF thing, which means these are his principles, and so it therefore is a God thing, is because when you're doing it with God, forget what everybody else is saying.
That's good.
Forget what everybody else is saying. When you're doing it with God, forget what everybody else is saying. And so, and I say this, my heart's desire is that I live, you know, a long life, Mama, you know, 100, you know, 200 if I can, you know,
yeah.
and in good health, you know. I say and in good health, right? You know, I want to be 200.
Amen,
I can live to be 200, I want to be in good health, right? Amen. And so,
amen.
Let me tell you what I realized. You got 3 minutes. I realize this. I realize that at any moment, God can shift me and say, you know what? Somebody else needs to be the executive director of PRF. I got another assignment for you, Dr. Dunlap. Or he'll call me Nate. He ain't gonna call me Dr. Dunlap. I don't do that. But that's what I believe, because it's happened so many times. And so I'm always in this place of, you know what? I wake up today, I have the position, I have the title of executive director. And God can say, I need you to do something else, and then therefore I got to go do it. It's happened too many times, and so I'm always in this mode of I can shift any moment. God can shift me any moment, and we got to be comfortable with that. I told a lot of people I was in seminary that was so heaven bent on, when I graduate and get this Master of Divinity degree, I'm going to be a pastor. I said, well, what if God has something different for you to do? It was so heaven bent on being a pastor, and then there was a whole bunch of openings that didn't come up for them to be pastors. They didn't know what to do. We got to be ready when God is shifting to the left and shifting to the right. And so let's say that God does that, right? He moves me out of this position. All these things that's going on, they got to continue. They got to continue. We don't do this thing. And listen, this thing is not centered around me. And that's why I'm begging. I'm beseeching good men and women of God right now. Get on the train, because truth be told, Mama, somebody who's listening may be the next executive director of PRF. Whatever, it does not matter to me. This is not my thing. This is God's thing. But if you don't get on board, if you don't understand what's going on, trying to learn it in the time of crisis, that's not where God wants us to be. It's not where God wants us to be. We got married couples, Mama. We got married couples that need PRF. We got couples who are going through premarital counseling that need PRF. Listen, it was a pleasure. In our first meeting in the building, we signed our lease a couple of weeks ago in Columbus, Georgia. And our first meeting over there with a young couple, getting their affairs in order. And I promise you, you know, I won't say what it is, but I'm just telling you, I was like, man, the young folk, Mama, that's it, because they're thinking ahead and don't even have any children. Listen, they putting stuff in place right now. Right now, and don't even have any children. You got 3 and 4 kids, some of y'all watching this. Some of your kids in college. What is it going to take? But just like in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, right, or 14, 15, 13 and 14, remember, that's when God said, you know what, it's time for a new generation. So you hear me talking about oftentimes about the remnant. Listen, I'm waiting for the remnant. So with that, I pray the remnant has picked up what has been put down tonight. And, Mama, we're going to go ahead and end it tonight. We look to see you next week. Catch us on also on tomorrow. Let me definitely not forget and mention this. It's the first or third Friday coming up, and tomorrow Kimberly Salas, our host of the host of Your Health is Your Wealth, her show comes on at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this is Mental Health Month. And so she has as a guest on that show Bishop Kelly Zimmerman as they deal with mental health.
Amen.
So much stuff is coming up in that. I really believe, that although Mental Health Month has been designated for the month of May, that next month there may be some more talk about mental health, because I can see so many things that are starting to blossom from this thing, and so much talk, especially with certain people who's been in the news over the last couple of weeks about mental health. When things come up, sometimes we got to attach one to them. So I'm glad that God had already set that up as a show for this month, or the shows for this month in the month of May. For talking about mental health. So, again, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the information is the same. Just call 347-215-7934. 347-215-7934 is the number, and get involved. So, listen, God bless you. We will talk to y'all soon. Have a wonderful evening, and let's get to work, y'all.